Morning. Great to be together. Thanks, Rob. If you're sort of new to Life Church this morning, we regularly see new people in here. This is a big launch for us this morning, and what I'm going to be talking about through the next few minutes, and then Leah's going to be taking over from me in a short while, is whether you're new or whether you've been part of this place for many years, is really something that we want to be sort of key and crucial to all that we do. But follow me on the screens here for a minute or two. And if the person sat next to you is not somebody who you're married to or is part of your household, just give them a bit of a glare for a moment. Just look at. Or somebody around you who is not sort of with your surname or something like that. Yeah, there you go, Mark, Sophie, yeah. The reason for doing that is one of the great joys of my job as a minister is sort of sitting and meeting with people and hear. I love stories of people's lives. And I think one of the great privileges for me, having the best funeral directors in Lichfield as part of our congregation. Did I just up the fees there? is that I get to go and sit in people's homes, people I've never met in my life. And perhaps, you know, if you're doing the ceremony of somebody who's 80, 90 plus years of age, and you're trying to just sum up their life in 30 minutes at a crematorium, it can be sometimes difficult. And hearing some of the journeys that people have gone on are just fascinating. And, you know, when you think you've heard it all, and then you meet somebody else who goes, this is... So a couple of weeks ago, I sat with a family, and it was the age... sort of mother's funeral. I sat with the kids, and when I say kids, like in the 60s, kids. And you go through a bit of a ritual of conversation and questions with them. And this couple, they had met, I don't know whether you can beat this, he was a patient in the hospital, and she was a nurse, not connected at this moment in time, way, way, way back. Some roses were delivered to the hospital, and she, as the nurse, took them to the bed to give to this bloke who the roses were not meant for. And there began 60 odd years of marriage by an accidental going up to a bed with some roses that were not meant for that person. They sat then having a laugh about that, a conversation over the days that he was there. The conversation continued. He did the, do you fancy a coffee? And the rest is history. I was there with then the result of that, the three or four kids then that were, you know, the product of that, and celebrating, I think it was 63 years of marriage by the accident of some roses being delivered to the wrong bed. And I don't know how your life's going, but as you look at this little picture up here, I don't know whether you go, that's a bit exaggerated, Steve, or you go, yeah, that's me. Because with all these people that I talk to, you realize that, you know, 80, 90 years ago, this woman, this man, was a gurgling little baby born to this couple with all the naivety of not having a clue what was going to come her or his way, what employment I'm going to have, what relationships, what disappointments, what money or not money I'm going to have. That's all the journey that we go on that God knows, but for us is sort of unpredictable, and we just sort of go along doing what we do and planning ahead, and then sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. And so perhaps the picture at the bottom here may be a bit more akin to what you might look back on now as your life, whereas the top one is what you'd want it to be. We've got our plans, we've got our programs, this is what we're going for, there's the finish line, come on, just give me the money, the people and whatever to do it. And it's worked. Silence. Now look at the person next to you if you're married. No. You see, human nature is limited in its potential because of one thing. That's because of the separation from God that came when sin was first brought, sadly, into the world. Which means If that is correct, that connection with God and with Jesus Christ can take us to another level to help us fulfill the potential that our lives were designed for. Here's one verse from the Bible that sums it up perfectly. Ephesians 1 verse 11. It is in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. Long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, He had His eye on us, had designs on us for glorious living. Part of the overall purpose He is working out in everything and everyone. Just glance at that verse. That is incredible in what it's saying to you and I as a result of sin that came into the world, destroyed the relationship with God. And ever since then, God has been on an absolute mission to make sure that that is restored to as much as possible. You and I, if you already know Jesus, we know that our lives now take on more of a completeness because we've connected with the author of life. So, the simple question is, so what's Jesus' plan for your life? Some of you might be able to answer that. Some of you might hesitate a little bit. It's very simple in terms of the gospel message that every Christian church preaches. Right relationship with God restored. That means sins forgiven, death, resurrection, us coming to God repentant, saying, yeah, I've ignored you, I've had nothing to do with you, sin has dominated my life in whatever shape and form that has taken, and now through the forgiveness that comes through the cross, I come to you. Or in simple terms, I want to be a Christian. Then there's the realization beyond that, there's more to it than that, there's the realization of God's agenda for life, for the world. Then there's friendship with our Creator. Key word, understanding His intended purpose for you and I. There's so many verses we could use, and time's very limited this morning, but one of the great phrases that Paul uses in the New Testament, he says, if you belong to Christ, if you've done all that, you are part of the new creation. Which, again, not to deeply go into it, but it just simply means that as Christians, then we get God's kingdom ideas and perspective on life, not just for us, but for everybody around us. And Jesus came as a living example of that. And as you look at that sort of life map, we could sit here and go around and you know, I could ask the simple question. So, you know, Juliet, so Charlie, so Stuart, you know, what have you done? What you know, what certificates you got? Remember all those, you know, weeks at school, learning to swim, and then you've got a badge or some trendy Speedos or whatever it might be. Or then you went to Scouts and you learned a few tricks that you still can do today. Or you went to university that gave you a degree because there's a particular line that you wanted to follow. Or you got an idea for this and it generated that, that meant a business opened up that has been, you know, your sort of source of income and satisfaction on a day-to-day routine. All of that is great and it's part of life and the package that God has given us. But the key to what I want to say this morning, all that is great. And if you read Philippians, Paul talks about it. I'm going to quote a bit of it in a minute. But whatever advantages we have in terms of our skill set, qualifications, achievements are secondary to who we become. As people have often said, we are human, we are human beings. Philippians 3, here's another verse. Paul, in this chapter, whether you're familiar with it or not, he's talking to these Philippian Christians and he's doing what I've just done. He's a good guy. Paul, previously known as Saul, he was intellectually sound. He sat at the feet of Gamaliel, the top rabbi. So, you know, in our terms, he went to top university. He got the sort of academic know-how to be able to sit at the top table. He became an influential guy. People respected his opinion and his know-how. He ended up writing the bulk of the New Testament that we read. But in the middle of it all, he takes all of that and he explains it out there, and he sort of says, whatever I've got going for me in terms of my birthright and my qualifications, the mind that God has given me, the way that I've used it, the word he uses is this: I consider it as garbage. That's what he says. That's the New Testament version. Others are a bit more, not pulpit fodder really, but you get the idea. But through all of that, he explains that and says, oh, that's great. This is what I've done. And he actually, a bit arrogantly, says, in front of all you lot, I am pretty good. However, I consider that all garbage, because I've discovered that the meaning to life and the way that I live out my life has got to be expressed through my relationship with Christ. And then this one statement here, in the middle of all that, he says, I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. And I guess that's a baseline for what we're going to say today and in the weeks ahead. Is that your experience as a believer in Christ, whether that's very recent or you've known him many years and you've read the Bible end to end? That sense of God has got hold of my life, but do I understand the reason why he's got hold of my life? You know, it's like getting in hold and getting hold. He's got hold of you. Have I got hold of why he's got hold of me? Do I get it? Have I got the agenda, the program, the work out of it all? In the 15th century, Spain was the powerhouse. It led the world. Spanish was the common language. You like this, James, don't you? Spanish Mike. It was a common language. But in their arrogance, they had coins inscribed with the words N-E plus ultra, knee plus ultra. It's a bit Geordie, isn't it? Knee plus ultra, man. Which meant complete, perfect, nothing further. They were the business, and they thought so. However, things drastically changed, because suddenly they discovered that there was a bigger world out there and there was so much more to be had. And so a reversal took place, and they rescribed their coins and missed a little bit off and just had it as plus ultra, which means more beyond. Their eyes had been opened. And this morning is the opportunity for each one of us to change the narrative, the soundtrack of our lives. Because I hope the inscription on your life isn't the knee plus ultra. Okay, nothing more, end of, perfection. If so, then let's have a chat afterwards, because I want to know the secret. But actually, through Christ, we've dropped off the first bit, and now we've realized there is more to discover. There's a big world out there that's called the kingdom of God. And if you read the Bible, there's a great story in Matthew 13 about the sower sows the seed. And I think the lesson out of it is that you've got to put your roots deep in the soil of faith. Throughout the Bible, there's an emphasis on inheritance. It's a sort of theme. We know what inheritance is. You know, you go around and you look after your mother and father-in-law, polish the inheritance, you know. Gifted. But that sense of taking ownership of what has been provided for you. And that's what we want to do. Not just be happy Christians. Yes, we do want to be happy Christians. But actually, beyond that, we're recognizing that there is something that we need to possess. That we need to recognize there is a bigger world out there in this kingdom of God than any of us. However rich you are in your Christian faith, there is more. And so we're going to journey together. and together as a church, but in a minute you'll see individually how we're going to do it as well. We're going on this road called M28. If you've looked it up in Google, yeah, there is an M28 motorway being built in Ireland between Cork and a place I can't pronounce, but it's a, just so that you know, I was like, looked at this, it's the N28 currently, it's about to be upgraded to the M28. A little bit of news for you, heard it here first. M28, if you can read in the little blue M there, Matthew 28, which simply reads like this. Then Jesus came to them. This is after he's resurrected. He's giving instructions. It's like the team talk before they go out onto the pitch. Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go. Go on, lads, go. And make disciples," emphasis, "of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." That's the instruction that our leader Jesus has left with us as Christian people, not just as leaders of a church, but to each one of us. Go, he's saying to disciples. I mean, it's a sort of Bible theme again, isn't it? Go and reproduce after your own kind. Going back to Genesis, he's speaking to disciples and he's going saying, make disciples, reproduce after your own kind. There's always that challenge. So if you were to reproduce a church full of you, what would it be like? Move on, a disciple, scares me that. A learner, a follower, somebody who's got their life mission aligned with that of Jesus Christ. Going to talk next week about the head and the hands and the heart and how this spills out into the very practical nature of what we do. But this isn't just a preach. As a leadership team, for the last 6 months, we've been thinking and talking about this. And we now want to present how we're going to do this, how I am going to help me and you grow in my faith to take hold of everything that Christ has provided and become a true disciple of his. We're going on a personal discipleship journey. There's two elements to it. One is something you're going to have in your hand with a little envelope. There's one for everybody. Various coloured envelope in case you're a bit dodgy about pink. Or, and we're going to ask questions of ourselves. And in a moment, Leah's going to tell you how that's going to spill out beyond just, you know, ticking a box or something like this. There's four segments to it, and these are them. Thanks, Rob. So your personal discipleship journey. We've gone 1 to 4. Clever, this. Somebody taught me this. Because if you go 1 to 5, everybody goes 3, don't they? Yeah, middle. Yeah, hey, clever Steve. No, somebody told me it. So 1, 2, 3, 4, never, occasionally, sometimes, regularly. Your spiritual health. Do I spend consistent time in the Bible? Don't answer this here and now. Do I pray frequently? Do I find it easy to thank God in all circumstances? Do I prioritize the gathering of Life Church on Sundays and life groups? Do I worship Jesus with passion? Relational health. Do I freely forgive offenses? Are my friendships healthy? Does my past interrupt my present or future? Do my friends and family know I value them with my time and attention? Is my phone/device a distraction when I'm with other people? Then we go on to the third and fourth ones. It's coming. It's stewardship of time, talents, and treasure. Do I have a balance between my work and home life? Do I know I'm pursuing what God has uniquely created me to do? Do I have a budget that I follow, and do I live within my means? I'm reading it quick. Do I financially do I give finance regularly to Life Church? Am I sacrificially involved in a serving ministry in Life Church? And then living my 168, the expression, do I have confidence in sharing the gospel? Do I have a heart to reach those? Is my faith having an influence? Do I desire and pray for the welfare of this city? And do I support efforts to get the gospel to unreached people? Whew. So, Leah's coming up in just a minute, but I'll remind you of this when I get back up after her, just to sort of wind this up. At the back there, there's two tables just to next to where Francis and Neil are. And there's one of these for every one of you. Nobody's going to see it. This is not some guilt trip at all. This is so that you've got that on a sheet of paper then in the secrecy of, I don't know, wherever secret for you at home, you can honestly go through it, tick it, put whatever number you want on there, as truthful or as not truthful as you want to be. And then you fold it, put it in the envelope, and then hide it till January 2025. And then, once we've done everything that Leah's going to talk to us about in a minute, you open it up. And hopefully, I'm going to open mine up and say, hey, my two has become a four, or my one has become a three, or, which basically means the commission of Jesus that he gave to us all to go and make disciples is growing steadily inside of me. Because I've taken responsibility for the faith that I've taken hold of and said that I want all that God is offering. Leah.
Wow, Steve, you mentioned my name a lot there. People are expecting much. I'm just the vehicle. I'm just going to show steps. But I must tell you that when I heard this, if you're like me, I was a little bit resistant just because I'm a little bit stubborn. And so respectfully, if you are a little bit like me, like, why do I have to do this? Would you just take a second look? Just challenge the premise of that feeling that you're feeling. Why do I have to do this? And as I journeyed through, I realized I want to grow. And there's no better way than myself checking on myself if I want to grow. I didn't say this to Steve, but when I said, well, I'm going to get this, what if I'm called to glory in the year? And if I'm not reading, you know, my loved ones open my envelopes, I'm going to put on top, I'm on a journey. Just in case, disclaimer. So what we're doing here in this year is that we're reading a thermometer of your life at a point in time. And that the tools that we have, the questions that have been carefully crafted, are questions that are going to challenge us in ourselves. And how do we do that? First, we score ourselves, whichever way we want to score ourselves, and normally sometimes we score ourselves harshly, that's why I'm having a disclaimer. But then we're going to pull ourselves through life groups. And in the life groups, there's two ways. There's iron sharpening iron, or there's a well from which you can be refreshed. This is not about advertising life groups. I genuinely, truly believe it. Otherwise, I wouldn't be doing it. That this is a space that's crafted for you to grow as much or as little as you want. You're not put into a pigeonhole. You are asked to choose. So what we're doing this morning is what the writer says in Habakkuk. And the Lord answered to me, write the vision, make it plain on tablets so that he may run who reads it. We are writing it. I know we're not writing words, but we're checking in ourselves. And then the tools in the 20 questions are going to come to you in the life group via questions in a video. Steve and the other leaders will do a bit of a video and a bit of a guide, which just kickstarts. It's not experts. It's just kickstarting you to start that conversation. You can meander around, but in that discussion, you know, the first question people ask me, like, what does consistently mean? Reading the Bible consistently. Well, we don't have the monopoly of this. We'll only know that when we go to glory. What does consistent mean to you? Only you can know what that consistency means. Is once a year enough to read the word? You know, that's the litmus test that we need to check. So I didn't tell the life group leaders this, but I just wondered, sometimes you see our beautiful pictures. That's not really a good one of me. I've told my husband we need to change it. But we see them on pictures, but you don't really see them physically. So if you're a life group leader in this space, please, would you just stand up? Because after this, what will happen after this is every life group leader will have a clipboard. We'll be in the hall at the bottom. We'll have a clipboard, and you'll have a chance to vet us and say, I don't want to Leah Tlengwe, she talks too much. I don't want to go to hers. Feel free, because the emphasis is not about these people. There's some more, actually, who are not here this morning. But it's not about these ones. This is about you finding a home where you can begin to feel the temperature of how you are progressing throughout the year. And the reason I called you was not just to give you a beauty parade. It's because we wanted to take time to stop and pray. We want to pray for you because we honor the space that you are creating in order for us to grow in the places that you are giving, which you call home. And because you are creating that, you're in the front runner. So we want to just pray for you as we kickstart, that God would just protect you. And I just pray that if there's anybody around, the life group leader, please raise your hands towards them, and then we can just pray. But after this, there will be the clipboard people. So you look out for them while you're having a coffee and you vet them because, you know, it's just like modeling. So shall we pray? You know, and if you're around anybody, put your hands towards them and let's just pray for them. Father God, I thank you for each and every one of these servants who have stood up, Father, and said, I want to serve you. God, I just realize that this is a sacrifice. This is not because they've got extra time or extra space, but this is a sacrifice because they see the need that is required. I pray, Father God, that for their efforts, you would reward them. I pray Psalm 16 over them, that their boundary lines are falling in pleasant places, and their lot is secure, their home is secure, their children are secure. As they look out into the world, as they look out into the church and create space for us in order to grow, Father, would you touch them? Would you anoint them? Would you perfect them? And would you stretch them and grow them in Jesus' name? Amen. So go forth and find a clipboarder.
Fab. The clipboard looks like that, just in case you don't know what a clipboard looks like. And I know many of you are already involved in life groups, but those of you that are not, this is a great opportunity for you to grab one of these people and go, I want to come to your house or wherever they meet. Can we just run through them? We've got a bit of a, there we go. So Fradley 1, Fradley 2, Huddlesford. These are all great pictures. And then Kings Bromley, Whittington, Tamworth. That's a new one that we opened up that I've been invited to sort of lead. So there's just me at the moment. So you want to join me in a pub somewhere, we will do that. And then we've got many in Lichfield, Lichfield 1, Lichfield 2. Andrew runs one on Zoom, Lichfield 3 for those that can't get out because of whatever reason. And then 4, 5, 7. There is a Lichfield 6, but it's a sort of full group because of what it's serving at the moment. So they are, that's a great picture of Juliet and Wendy, isn't it? Just need like a prison number or something across the bottom there. Whoa, dearie me. Move on, Rob. Sorry, Juliet. It's been great leading together. I've loved every minute. So, this morning, as you leave this room in a few minutes' time, grab an envelope, grab one of the pieces of paper, take time whenever just to, you know, honestly fill that in. Sign up for a life group. And then, as Leah said, the plan is that those 20 questions will be rolled out through 20 weeks of life group, which takes us the bulk of the year because most life groups meet every other week, and deal with each one of those questions and chance just to talk and grow and learn. Learning from others is great, isn't it? Just being in a group rather than this is my thoughts. If you talk to yourself, you're never wrong. But then you share with other people and they can inflict their ideas on you and hear perspective that you never thought was there. So I just believe this next 12 months is going to be absolutely significant for you, for me. I said last week when we sort of give you a snippet of this, it's going to change your world and affect the world that you live in amongst your colleagues and family and all the people that you have as your sort of group of influence. You got all that? Next week, heart, head and hands. And how it just touches every part of our body, this whole idea of discipleship. And then we're going to look at the Gospel of Mark and how Jesus did what he did with those disciples. Then we're going to go into the great book of Acts, where it all then absolutely explodes into life in all that we know if you're familiar with the Bible. Emily, all yours. Thank you.